You see the page number there from the Bible, 979. There's spaces at the front. If any children want to come forward a bit closer to see the board, you're welcome to do that. I'll just pull it out a bit. So let's listen to the voice of God. It says in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. Just to look back, who is the them? Chapter 13, verse 2, such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. So that's who he's teaching. So verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weed among the wheat and went away. He sowed weeds. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, start with a question. If God is really king, Jesus is sent by him to be king in his kingdom, why is it not more obvious? Why can't everyone see who Jesus' people are? Is God really in charge? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you believe he is really in charge. But we wonder, we followers of Jesus, why do we have to wait? Why doesn't God make it clear now that he's king? And in this part of the Bible, Jesus explains those things because he knows when we get worried about them. He explains so that we can be sure it is right to follow him. You might remember last time we were all together, children and adults all together, we thought from earlier in Matthew's story of Jesus about Jesus sending a demon out of a man. Jesus is stronger than demons. He can get rid of a demon. And everyone could see that because this man had been deaf and dumb, unable to speak, unable to hear, and then suddenly he could do those things. Well, Jesus has just done an amazing thing. He'd sent the demon out of the man. Here is the man, healthy and well. Everyone can see it. No one can say it hasn't happened. But then something else amazing happens. Some of the people there say, oh, we just can't really be sure about Jesus. I don't know if he's really worth bothering with. And then others here, the leaders, the religious leaders, they're saying, actually, the way Jesus was able to drive out this demon is because he's got the devil's help. He's working with Satan. Oops. I didn't think that sticky was very sticky. Stay up there. He's supposed to be better, that man. And Jesus says, if you think like that, you can't be forgiven. If you say, oh, not really sure I'm going to bother with Jesus. Or if you say Jesus is actually using evil, you're not going to be forgiven. It's like a sick person saying, no, that medicine's poison. I'm not going to have it. They're not going to get better because they're refusing the way to get better. The person who says about Jesus, he's using Satan's help. They're not going to go for Jesus for help, are they? And so they are not going to be forgiven. But what about those of us who do follow Jesus? What about those of us who say, yeah, Jesus is God's son who has power over demons, who can give us life in God's family? Why isn't it clear that we're on the right side? Why can't everyone see, yeah, Jesus really is in charge? And so Jesus explains that. He says in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And so what Jesus is explaining is God's kingdom. It's not a place. You know, we live in the United Kingdom. That's a place. And you might have a United Kingdom passport. But God's kingdom is God's people and where God is at work in people's lives. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not saying God's kingdom is like the man. He's saying God's kingdom is like this whole story. And that's what it's like when God's at work in people's lives. And he tells a story about a field. So I've got a field image here. Reese, I need your help now. So here we go. There's the field. Very orange, very yellow sky. And the man scatters some seeds in the field and they start to grow, don't they? Just a little bit. Right, that's enough. Thank you. And his servants, that they see that the plants are growing. Looks like there's going to be a good harvest here. But they grow a little bit more. I need you back, Reese. You're going to have to stand on your feet for a bit longer. Okay, up a bit. So we can just start to see. Pull them. There we go. Look, some of the plants are different, aren't they? What's the difference between those plants? Sorry? Yeah, some have got flowers, orange flowers, and some are actually producing the seeds. You see, these are weed plants. Maybe if you move back a bit, Reese, so people can see. These are weed plants, and these are seeds. And so the servants say, look, didn't you sow good seeds? But there's now these weed plants, the ones with flowers mixed in with the good plants. Why has this happened? And the man in charge of the field explains it was an enemy who did this. He's trying to spoil my field by putting in weeds. And what do the servants think they could do? What do they suggest they might do? Someone who was listening. Yeah, pull them all up. They said, let's pull them all up. And the master says, don't do that. Why don't do that? Why does he say you mustn't do that? Yeah, you might pull up the good plant, the wheat, at the same time as the wheat. You've got to be patient. You've got to wait. Now, being patient means waiting without being fussy or rude. It's hard to wait, isn't it? Patience is what you have to do when the bus is late. You've got to wait for the bus. If you're waiting patiently, you're not being fussy or rude. Or maybe you're having to wait for the end of term. You can't wait for holidays. And if you're fussy or rude or grumpy, you're not being patient. Patient means waiting without doing those unpleasant things. So that's what Jesus is teaching in this parable partly. We have to be patient. Why isn't it obvious now? Why isn't it clear in the world? Those are Jesus' people and all the other people aren't. Why can't we see that really clearly? Why actually doesn't God get rid of all those bad people and just have Jesus' people? And in the story, Jesus is saying, you have to be patient, wait. And we sang about that, didn't we? There will come a day. There will come a day when all the evil and wickedness will be driven away. And we have to wait for that. Well, the plants kept growing. That's it. Push them up. Maybe if we pull them from there. Sorry, I thought this was such a clever idea when I thought of it, but it's quite hard to work. Come on, Reese. Reese obviously never did any gardening. There we go. Pull them through. Great. Okay, we can now see clearly, can't we? It's time for the plants to be gathered. You can have a seat now. Thank you. It's time for the plants to be gathered. So what are the workers going to do? What did the farmer tell the workers to do? Gather it all together, put them in a big pile. Get the weeds first. So we said the weeds are the ones with the flowers. But get rid of those. And where do we put the weeds? Gather them together and we're going to put them in the furnace to burn them up. Okay? Will they go in there? What do you want? They'll go back there. And then what do we do with the wheat? Gather that and store it up in the barn. So that's what the farmer have to do. Probably wouldn't go around with scissors cutting each one, but I didn't have my combine harvester. Here we go. So the wheat would be gathered and collected together. We're going to think in a minute what that all means. But before Jesus explains what that all means, he tells two other stories about things that are not obvious. They start hidden, but end up big. So look with me in the Bible again. Verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Over the page. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour. That's a lot. Until it worked all through the day. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So there's a man. I don't know why he's got an England vest on, but that's just the man that I found in my images. So there's a man, he's a farmer, and he plants a seed, a tiny little seed, and it grows into a big tree, probably much bigger than him. Think about it, perhaps it's in the background, it's a bit away behind him. Big enough that the birds can make nests and live in it. Look, I've got one here actually. So small I had to put it in an envelope. I went and I got a tree from the garden this morning. It's there. Yeah. That's a tree. Come back in 30 years' time, and that might be as big as this building. You see, those were sat at the front. It has actually started to grow, hasn't it? Can you see the root there? So there's a tree. You put that in your garden, leave it for 30 years, and it would fill this room. That's what Jesus is saying. God's kingdom, it looks small now. But it's going to be big. It's the same with the next little story, isn't it? What's the woman doing? What's she making? What's she making? Yeah, she's making a load of dough that's going to become bread. And that little bit of yeast that you can't see spreads all through the flour and changes it. It spreads it. It has a deep effect. And that's the way of God's world. So two little stories there. There's a man working in his field. There's a woman working in her house. And they're both working with things that are so small. But they end up making a great big difference. That's what God's kingdom's like. We want to go back to the main story, though, the one about the field. Because the disciples are not sure about it. There's a disciple looking not sure. Wants him to explain. Verse 780, verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the fields. The big story. That's the difference between Jesus' people and people who are not. Jesus' people want to learn. They're asking questions. They want to know more. That's one of the advantages, one of the blessings of our midweek growth groups. It's a chance for us to ask more questions and learn to understand better God's ways so that we can follow his ways. Am I someone who's wanting to learn more from Jesus? Because that's what these people are. They're saying, we don't understand. Jesus, help us understand. Or do you just come on a Sunday and think, well, that was, you know, some old stuff from the Bible. I've done my bit now. My mum will be glad I went. I'll forget about it for the week. Which are we? Oops. So Jesus explains the parable. Verse 37. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So Jesus takes away the cover and shows us what the story was really about. It was a story about a field with different kinds of plants, but actually he's talking about people, isn't he? He's talking about people and what's going to happen to people at the end. God's kingdom is like people in the world who love Jesus and know him, mixed in with people who do not know Jesus and do not care about him, just like the plants in the fields. But this is it's not a parable about churches. There are mixtures of people in churches, but Jesus says the field is the world. So this is the world we're living in. It's got a mixture. In verse 38, what does it say the two kinds of people are? Verse 38, what are the two kinds of people? Not you, Betty. Give someone else a chance to answer. Two kinds of people in verse 38. You won't find it by looking at the ceiling. Yeah, good and evil is the sort of summary. The good seeds are of which people? What does it say they are? The people of the kingdom. Yeah, and then the other seeds, the weeds, stand for what? Yeah, the people of the evil one. So there are two kinds of plants in the story, and Jesus says that means there are two kinds of people. And at the end, what does it say happens to the sons of the wicked? In verse, they will be thrown into the fire. It says they are the people who cause trouble. In verse 41, the Son of Man will send his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And those people, Jesus' angels, will separate them and they will go into the fire. Now that might be a surprise for you, but Jesus in the Bible talks about hell and talks about the terrible end for people who belong to the evil one rather than belonging to God. Now, children, please be patient for a minute. I want to just talk to parents. This is very serious, isn't it? And if you love your children, parents, you will pray for them and do what you can to protect them from that. My wife, Karen, she's always said from when our children were little, it's more important for them to be one of Jesus' people and have a rubbish job than to have a wealthy job and to be not one of Jesus' people. But think about it. At the end of their life, their wealth and their fancy clothes and their special holidays and their smart cars, that'll all go. And then they will be away from God forever. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, parents, you can't make your children Christians. You can't force them to be changed in their hearts. You can't do that. Only God can do that. But you can put them in the place that God normally uses. So be a picture for them of what it means to be a forgiven sinner. Admit to them, admit to God, you get it wrong and you need God's help. That's what they need to learn from you. Read the Bible with them regularly. A little bit every day if you can. Not hours and hours, but a little bit, enough you can do regularly. Pray for them. And bring them along to be with God's people. I recommend you get here on time. You know, if you're someone who's never late for school, but always late for church, the children are going to learn a lesson from that, aren't they, as to what's most important. Don't want to make anyone feel embarrassed. There's reasons you might have been late. But if that's your regular pattern, just think about what's going on there. Children, listen again. We're all in together. So Jesus' story here is that the secret growth of God's people will stop being secret. The devil's work will finish. And all who belong to the devil will be thrown into fire. And then Jesus' people will be with him. It says they will shine. Let's say in verse 43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. So the main point is, Jesus' main point of this story is, one day everything will be clear. We say, if God is king, why isn't it obvious? Why can't everyone see who his people are? It's not that all of Jesus' people are in one place or in one country in the world. That's a Christian country. And then all the people in other places are not Christian. Vladimir Putin at the moment seems to be saying that by war, he can make a Christian country and make a bigger Christian country. That is not true. It's a very complicated war and all. I don't want to make the terrible situation simple, but that part of what he's saying is wrong. Because Jesus said, no, the world will be a mixture. the people of God are going to be scattered in amongst, like wheat amongst weeds in a field, and we won't know until the end. But at the end, we will know. So don't give up. Stay with Jesus. God's kingdom is not in one little country or one big country. God's kingdom is in the hearts and the lives of people who are knowing him. One last thing to say. You might be wanting to ask, how can I be sure that I'm one of the wheat and not one of the weeds? How can I be sure that I'm a son of the kingdom and not one of the evil ones? Well, for the adults who were here last week, we looked at a story Jesus told about the kinds of people who are not in God's kingdom. And those are people who, they might hear the Bible, but then they forget about it. They're not wanting a heart change. That's the true people of God want a heart change. People who are not in God's kingdom, they give up when it gets hard. They're embarrassed or they're ashamed when people laugh at them for being a Christian. But the true Christians hold on and carry on. The people who are not in God's kingdom, they love other things much more than Jesus. They love what people say about them. They love the things they can buy. They love their own pleasures more than Jesus. But the followers of Jesus, they're struggling with those things, but they are struggling and saying, Jesus, please help me put you first. And the last thing they're doing is that they're trying to serve God's ways by loving other people the way God wants. That's how you'd know if you're one of the wheat, if you're doing those things. Well, there will come a day when all the evil and the wickedness will be thrown away. And then the sons of God will be clear forever who those people are, sons and daughters. So let's not give up. Let's be patient and wait, trusting that God will bring that end around. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, King Jesus, helps us to understand the world, helps us to understand why it's not obvious now, but promises that one day it will be obvious who is in your people and who isn't. Please help us to be patient while we wait and to make sure that we are going to be in the right group, to do everything we can to stay amongst your people for the end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace.